Hi, Big Remy here. This is For the Record program number 1172, The Missing Chapter, Part 2. This is being recorded on February 13th of the year 2021. With the mass of information that is spewing out of Satan's cornucopia, so to speak, to coin a term, there is no way I can do justice to it in one-hour programs, even if I were producing five a week. Please use the SpitfireList.com website and the comments being presented by Terra Fractal, our contributing editor, and many others. There is just a torrent of information, not just in the wake of the Capitol riots, but on potential domestic terrorism and other things that are related to that. So please use the SpitfireList.com website. And quite frankly, I think we are, we are, speaking of Satan's cornucopia, I think we are collectively, as a species, as a nation, and as a civilization, literally at the gates of hell. And I don't think things are going to work out well at all. Please get the flash drive with all of the information on the SpitfireList.com website through For the Record 1156, and you will have the vast bulk of the information that I have spent my life accumulating. I don't get any money from that, and it is available for a tax deductible contribution of $65 or more. There is a link at the top of each post on the SpitfireList.com website, and also at the top of the front page. And again, I get no money whatsoever from that or from anything else on the SpitfireList.com website. This is all fair use and in a spirit of altruism, which seems, well, perhaps quixotic at this point in time. In For the Record program 1163, we revisited a topic that is as important as any I have covered in the 42 years now that I have been on the air, namely mind control. We took a look at Louis Jolyon West and his hypno-programming of a most unfortunate airman at Lackland Air Force Base in the early 1950s named Jimmy Shaver. He was hypno-programmed quite apparently by Louis Jolyon West either to confess to the brutal rape and murder of a 3-year-old girl, which he did not commit, or perhaps to actually committing the murder. In any event, in For the Record 1163, we went into that at some length. And the subject of the CIA and military's mind control programs, which were immensely successful and diabolical in their manifestation, that entire program, that is to say, the military and CIA's mind control programs, covered, by the way, in AFA programs 5, 6, and 7 on the SpitfireList.com website. The inception of mind control in the U.S. was in reaction to some captured U.S. flyers during the Korean War who had confessed to having participated in biological warfare attacks in both North Korea and China during the Korean War. The presumption was that the U.S. did not, in fact, engage in biological warfare in the Korean War. And the only way that these airmen, these flyers, could have confessed to this was if they had been programmed to do so by the Chinese and North Koreans. So in response to that supposed event, the mind control programs were developed. We've looked at biological warfare at great length over the decades, and that the U.S. practices it not just on enemies but on our own population is beyond the point of intelligent debate at this point, perhaps, in addition to the COVID-19 op. For the record, programs 1135, 1136, and 1137, updating our inquiry into Lyme disease as a biological weapon with the consummately important recent book, Bitten, just written by Chris, K-R-I-S, Newby. The evidence really is beyond dispute. However, the fact that the confessions by these captured American flyers led to our mind control programs has... it has interested me, and when I got a hold of the British edition of what is arguably the best book on Unit 731, the Japanese biological warfare program during World War II, the personnel and files of which were then glommed onto the U.S. biological warfare program in the Cold War period. That book had both a British and an American edition. The book is co-authored by Peter Williams, W-I-L-L-I-M-S, and David Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E. It's called Unit 731, subtitled The Japanese Army's Secret of Secrets. There is a British edition by Haber and Stoughton, S-T-O-U-G-H-T-O-N, Haber, H-O-D-D-E-R. There is also an American edition by the Free Press, a division of Macmillan. However, the American edition has, and I recommend it, has a chapter missing that is in the British edition only. And that missing chapter is significant, in my opinion. The fact that that chapter, which is a very balanced treatment of the allegations by the North Koreans and the Chinese about the U.S. using biological warfare, was omitted in its entirety from the American edition. Again, it is anything but propagandized or ideologized, and they view both the Korean/Chinese allegations and the American rebuttal of those and the confessions, perhaps in quotes, by the American flyers and the retractions of those confessions by those same flyers with a degree of measured skepticism. The fact that such a balanced treatment of the subject, again, not ideologized in favor of either side and very objective in its presentation, the fact that that was omitted, that chapter was omitted in its entirety from the American edition, illustrates what the brilliant Berkeley professor Peter Dale Scott characterized as the cover-up obviating the conspiracy. And in that these allegations by these captured flyers of U.S. BW use in the Korean War, and as we have seen and we'll look at again, there is a very real possibility that personnel and methodology developed by Unit 731 and General Shiro Ishii, or Ishishiro might have been his name, because the Japanese invert what we usually view as their first and last names. I thought the fact that these allegations, which were the raison d'etre for the development of the very sinister U.S. mind control programs, are worth examining in their entirety. And we're going to go back to that again from the British edition of Unit 731. This by Peter Williams and David Wallace, published in hardcover in 1989 by Haber and Stoughton, H-O-B-B-E-R, Stoughton, S-T-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. And again, the authors are very balanced in their treatment of the subject and avoid ideologization, to coin a term, in favor of either side. From that missing chapter, the authors write, throughout 1952 and in 1953, the germ warfare charges remained at the vanguard of the Korean War of Words. The United States continued to repeat its denials, as it still does today. Again, the book is published in 1989. And China and Korea kept the pressure up by producing further information, allegations, and evidence. The analysis of charges, denials, and counter-accusations remains a treacherous minefield. As the Chinese and North Koreans have made the charges, the burden of proof fell upon them to substantiate their accusations. Most evidence that can be inspected today, thus, comes predominantly from communist sources. The allegations may be true, but it must be remembered that at that time, with the notable exception of the Soviet Khabarovsk trial record, that, by the way, was a Soviet war crimes trial of the Unit 731 personnel, the customary verbiage which enveloped communist propaganda often had a poor record on truth. The American rejection of the charges, on the other hand, rested on the much less taxing need of only having to have the plausibility of their denial accepted in the West. After all, how could they provide information on something they had not done? And we're going to repeat some information discussed or presented in our last program, namely the most credible piece of information put out by the communist side. And that report, the report of the International Scientific Commission for the Facts Concerning Bacterial Warfare in Korea and China, involved a thorough investigation by observers who almost in their entirety were not communist Chinese, Korean, or otherwise. And as we get into their examination, one of the foundations of their finding that, yes, the U.S. had engaged in biological warfare in Korea and China was the anomalous information that they uncovered about various kinds of parasites, both insect, arachnid, and mammalian, the development of these vectors. Many of the insects were fully developed at a time when they should not have been. They should have been much less mature. The same was true of voles and other mammalian vectors. Some of the vectors were carrying the wrong kinds of virus. And as I read the findings of the ISC, I will repeat key elements of the scientific anomalies as they come across. I don't know how far we will be able to get here in terms of time. If not, we will extend this to a third program. There is just a massive amount of information coming out in the wake of the Capitol riots and some very disturbing indications of domestic terrorism possibly to come. A total of 10 pounds of plastic explosives, C4, has been reported missing from the 29 Palms Marine Corps base. That is a lot of C4. Talk about a Big Bang Theory, Jesus. That will produce a Big Bang, all right. So we'll see what happens on the domestic terrorism front. Frankly, I am less than optimistic. But we are going to take a look at what even the authors, who again, very skillfully, I think, and judiciously avoid any sort of ideologized bias in their analysis of the allegations by China and North Korea, as indicated, I think, in that passage I just read. Turning to the ISC investigation, the author is right. One source of information, the report of the International Scientific Commission for the Facts Concerning Bacterial Warfare in Korea and China, which was prepared with Chinese and North Korean assistance, is generally accepted today as being of high quality. The ISC was formed on March 29, 1952, by a meeting in Oslo of the Executive Committee of the World Peace Council, an organization which reportedly received some backing from Moscow. Addressing the committee, Dr. Kuo Mojo, president of the Chinese People's Committee for World Peace, called for the formation of an international group of impartial and independent scientists to investigate the BW allegations. Late in June that year, the six principal members of the ISC arrived in Peking to commence their investigation. They were Dr. Andrein, A-N-D-R-E-E-N, director of the Central Laboratory of the Hospitals Board of the City of Stockholm, Jean Malterre, M-A-L-T-E-R-R-E, Ingenieur Agricole, director of the Laboratory of Animal Physiology, National College of Agriculture, Grignan, France, Dr. Olivo, professor of human anatomy in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Bologna, Italy, Dr. Samuel Pessoa, P-E-S-S-O-A, professor of parasitology at the University of São Paulo, that's in Brazil, of course, and formerly director of public health for the state of São Paulo, Dr. Nikolai Zhukov-Vereznikov, professor of bacteriology at and vice president of the Soviet Academy of Medicine and formerly chief medical expert at the aforementioned Khabarovsk trial. And finally, Dr. Joseph Needham, F-S-N-E-E-D-H-A-N-F-R-S, Sir William Dunn Reber in biochemistry, Cambridge University, formerly scientific counselor, Her Britannic Majesty's Embassy, Chongqing, and later director of the Department of Natural Sciences at UNESCO. He became in 1966 the master of Gonville and KSCAIUS College, Cambridge, and is currently writing a history of science and civilization in China. On the Chinese side, an illustrious array of scientists and medical men, many trained in the West, was arranged to assist the commission. In Peking, between June 23rd and July 9th, the ISC began to try to unravel the threads of the situation. As historical background for the ISC's first meeting, Zhukov-Vereznikov presented Russian evidence about Unit 731 gained at Khabarovsk. Needham's notebook records that Zhukov-Vereznikov was asked whether it would be reasonable to infect any insects by bringing them into contact with germs of infectious diseases. Zhukov-Vereznikov answered that it was theoretically possible, even with arachnids, the genus including spiders, scorpions, and mites, and that the numbers of types of potential insect vectors had constantly been increasing, especially for plant diseases. At the ISC's second meeting on June 27th, the Chinese produced surviving materials relating to Japanese bacterial warfare waged against them during the Second World War. Original reports from the archives of the Chinese Ministry of Health dealing with the Chengde plague incident were produced. Other official Chinese records showed that 11 cities had been attacked in this way, 4 in Zhejiang province, 2 each in Hubei and Hunan, and 1 each in Shaanxi, Hunan, and Shantung. The meeting also received a communication which had arrived the night before from newspaperman Wilfred Berchep, B-U-R-C-H-E-P-P, erstwhile Daily Mail correspondent in Berlin, but then covering the Korean War from the communist side for French left-wing daily Soslow. In his letter, Berchep claimed that at about 2 p.m. on June 6th, he had been sitting in a jeep on a ferry crossing an arm of the upper reaches of the Yalu River, when he noticed that the water was very thickly covered with insects of 2 varieties. Obviously not aquatic creatures, they were trying to struggle aboard the ferry. The next day, it transpired that the phenomenon had coincided with several similar ones in the region, and that all had accompanied the passage of American planes. Non-exploding bombs had been seen to fall. Berchep stated that he had talked to the principal of a nearby school where boys playing in the playground on hearing planes and while rushing for cover had seen, quote, silvery globes, unquote, coming down, apparently rather slowly in a diagonal direction. Later, they went to the point of landing and found masses of insects. 3 boys Berchep talked to have said that the globes were about twice as large as footballs and that the insects found were about 1 inch long with a large and prominent abdomen and with constantly moving mouthparts. The principal problem facing the ISC was to establish a rigorous methodology through which it would be possible to provide internationally acceptable scientific proof about whether or not biological warfare was, in fact, being waged. The Commission had already observed that biological warfare, on account of its very nature, was exceptionally difficult to prove. One more time. The Commission had already observed that biological warfare, on account of its very nature, was exceptionally difficult to prove. The specific methodology the Commission evolved with which to analyze biological warfare incidents was charted out in an explanatory diagram. And then I'll present the diagram. And obviously, I can't do justice to that on the radio. The accompanying text. It is necessary to envisage a manner of grouping events into a coherent pattern so that they can throw light upon each other and perhaps build up a circumstantial case. The simplest scheme in which, under ideal conditions, every component would be present was the following. And then they present the diagram, and after that, naturally, this complete pattern will rarely or never be encountered. There are, nevertheless, cases which come near enough to it to be decisive. In this way, it is possible to reconstruct the activities of those who have utilized such methods and to elucidate the effects which have been produced by them. The Commission paid particular attention to those assemblies of facts which attained most nearly the demonstrative character to the ideal pattern. When the general pattern of facts resulting from the confrontation of numerous patterns is examined, the whole situation becomes clear. In attempting to verify each biological warfare incident, the ISC had to consider complicated arguments about medical and entomological evidence discovered after the alleged raids. Were the insects discovered after the incidents native to the regions in which they were found? Much time was spent studying and classifying them. 18 different species, 9 of diptera, D-I-P-T-W-E-R-A, 6 species of flies, 3 of mosquitoes and midges, one of Plecoptera, stoneflies, one of Columbula, springtails, and one of Siphonoptera, bees, wasps, and ants, and three of Orthoptera, crickets, and grasshoppers. Two of spiders, Arachnida, and a beetle, were identified from specimens sent to Chinese experts as representatives of unusual multitudes of insects found after the passage of American planes. The main difficulty, which the commission noted remained insuperable, was the fact that despite the work of half a century, the systematic classification of many insect groups in the Chinese subcontinent remained unknown. I would interject parenthetically that there is a similar problem of inquiry vis-a-vis bats and bat-borne coronaviruses in China and neighboring nations today, and alleged exploration of that appears, at least to a considerable extent, to have served as a cover for biological warfare. I would also add that as of this point in time, February 13th of 2021, the first of the commissions on which Peter Daszak, by the way, I had been mispronouncing his name, Daszak, D-A-Z, or D-A-Z-S-A-K, it's Daszak. He is actually of Ukrainian extraction. More about that perhaps in a future program. But yes, they have indeed said, yep, looks like the virus was a natural virus, and it sprang from originally a bat-borne coronavirus, passed through an unknown species. In other words, no conspiratorial aspect to it. One could say, perhaps, that the Warren Report has gone viral. I noted in the For the Record 1170 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology might be termed the Oswald Institute of Virology, and I predicted that the Daszak commissions would basically prove to be virological Warren commissions, and they would cover up the very disturbing evidence that, in fact, yes, the virus was in fact concocted, and not by the Chinese, but rather to defame the Chinese, discredit them, and to, if you're going to alienate the second largest economy in the world by GDP, decouple that from the global economy, you're going to have to do something to basically tick off the human race. And among the goals of the COVID-19 op is just such an alienation. But as the evidence suggests overwhelmingly, that it was the West and the U.S. that developed this virus, framing the Chinese in the process. We have now come up with the magic virus theory. Yep, it just amazingly jumped from bats and then went all over the world. Well, gee whiz. Not a surprise, but anyway, returning to this, the main difficulty which the commission that we remained insuperable was the fact that despite the work of half a century, the systematic classification of many insect groups in the Chinese subcontinent remained unknown. Thus, new introductions could not necessarily be recognized as such. Nonetheless, the commission uncovered many major zoological, geographical, and ecological anomalies. Quote, the species of Hyremia, the anthomid fly, that's A-N-T-H-O-M-Y-I-I-B, identified repeatedly from numerous swarms collected, proved definitively not the same as any one of the four species common in northeast China, nor with any one of the 15 species previously recorded from all parts of China. The ISC recorded one more time. The species of Hyremia, or anthomid fly, identified repeatedly from numerous swarms collected, proved definitively not the same as any one of the four species common in northeast China, nor with any one of the 15 species previously recorded from all parts of China. The ISC recorded. The same was true for sunfly, Helamazat Modesta, and I'm probably mispronouncing many of these Latin scientific names. The same was true for sunfly, Helamaza Modesta, and Midge Orthocladius. Should the insects have been found at that time of year? Ecological anomalies were extremely marked. Although the winter of 1951-52 had been normal, it was declared that large populations of insects have appeared during the first 3 months of the year, while snow still lay on the ground. One more time. Although the winter of 1951-52 had been normal, it was declared that large populations of insects have appeared during the first 3 months of the year, while snow still lay on the ground. 12 of the 18 species showed a remarkable precocity, varying from 6 to 14 weeks, the average being 9 weeks, more than 2 months. Then, the insects have appeared in vast quantities. For the tiny springtail fly, Isotama negishina, only 2 millimeters in length to have attracted any attention whatsoever, it would have had to have been present in immense quantities. Moreover, certain masses of hyremia appeared at a time when the recorded temperature was minus 10 degrees centigrade. That's very cold. One more time. Then the insects have appeared in vast quantities. For the tiny springtail fly, Isotama isotama, negishina, negishina, only 2 millimeters in length, to have attracted any attention whatsoever, it would have had to have been present in immense quantities. Moreover, certain masses of hyremia appeared at a time when the recorded temperature was minus 10 degrees centigrade. Even more strangely, that number of hyremia included a high proportion ready to lay eggs. One more time. Even more strangely, that number of hyremia included a high proportion ready to lay eggs. And again, as the temperature was minus 10 degrees centigrade. Continuing. Thousands of adult field crickets, Gryllus testaceus, appeared in March in Liaotung Province, Manchuria, at a time when only individuals in the egg stage should have been present. At that time, no adults had even begun to appear in the much warmer climate of Peking. One more time. Thousands of adult field crickets, Gryllus testaceus, appeared in March in Liaotung Province, Manchuria, at a time when only individuals in the egg stage should have been present. At that time, no adults had even begun to appear in the much warmer climate of Peking. The winter had been meteorologically normal. But in order to prove that no abnormal factor had been at work, the ISC systematically plotted back by the same amount all the supposed BW apparitions. If a uniformly acting natural factor had been at work, the ISC argued, then the curves of normal appearance would have been parallel. A glance showed that this was not the case. The ISC concluded that, quote, the order of abnormal appearance is so haphazard as to indicate the intervention of an artificial factor. One more time. The winter had been meteorologically normal, but in order to prove that no abnormal factor had been at work, the ISC plotted back by the same amount all the supposed BW apparitions. If a uniformly acting natural factor had been at work, the ISC argued, then the curves of normal appearance would have been parallel. A glance showed that this was not the case. The ISC concluded that, quote, the order of abnormal appearances is so haphazard as to indicate the intervention of an artificial factor, unquote. One more time. The ISC concluded that, quote, the order of abnormal appearances is so haphazard as to indicate the intervention of an artificial factor, unquote. Another possible cause of the entomological anomalies was the intense and localized heating caused by napalm bombing. This, too, was largely rejected, as many principal incidents had originated in Manchuria, a region which had seen no napalm bombing. Were the insects discovered disease carriers? Some were unknown hitherto as vectors of diseases. The ISC noted that certain aspects of the vector-host relationship were unclear, and that there was great latitude in the so-called specificity of vectors. On July 9th, the ISC proceeded to Mukden, Shenyang, Hoten. Between the 12th to the 25th, it considered a number of incidents in detail, notably an alleged biological warfare attack with plague-infected rodents in Kannan County in Heilongjiang Province near the border with Inner Mongolia. At midnight on April 4th, the residents of Minsheng Village, 10th District, Kanhanshen, have heard the noise of an aeroplane. Half an hour previously, the Chinese Air Observer Corps have spotted an American F-82 double-fuselage night fighter enter the sector. As dawn broke, voles, V-O-L-E-S, of a single variety were found throughout 31 of the 45 settlements making up the four villages of the 10th District. A total of 717 were discovered inside, around, and on the roofs of houses, in vegetable storage pits, in wells, on the frozen fields and ponds. Most were dead, mauled, and brought indoors by cats. Those still alive were sluggish or had fractured legs. Numerous ecological abnormalities were apparent. Not only was it strange for voles to appear in such numbers and near human habitations, but their appearance was seasonally anomalous, small rodents not usually appearing for another month. Furthermore, the species had never before been seen by the local people. One more time. As dawn broke, voles, V-O-L-E-S, of a single variety were found throughout 31 of the 45 settlements making up the four villages of the 10th District. A total of 717 were discovered inside, around, and on the roofs of houses, in vegetable storage pits, in wells, on the frozen fields and ponds. Most were dead, mauled and brought indoors by cats. Those still alive were sluggish or had fractured legs. Numerous ecological abnormalities were apparent. Not only was it strange for voles to appear in such numbers and near human habitations, but their appearance was seasonally anomalous, small rodents not usually appearing for another month. Furthermore, the species had never before been seen by the local people. A traffic cordon was thrown round the district, and epidemic prevention forces and two plague prevention experts were dispatched to the scene. Local villagers, who had been considerably frightened by the incident by then, had burned and buried the voles' remains deep underground. They had also destroyed the whole district's population of dogs and cats. And to protect against infected fleas in their homes, residents had laid out a thin layer of dry straw over the earthen floors and set it alight. Prophylactic inoculations were administered, and as no cases of human plague broke out by the 14th, the traffic cordon was finally lifted. Despite the initial preventive measures, four voles had been kept. One, which had died only hours before the epidemic prevention squad arrived, was tested and found to be carrying plague bacilli, a surprising discovery, One, which had died only hours before the epidemic prevention squad arrived, was tested and found to be carrying plague bacilli, a surprising discovery. Firstly, voles are not infected naturally with plague. The important carriers in northeast China were the sewer rat, the ground squirrel, and the mouse. Secondly, Kanmon County had never known plague in its history. Since 1928, the whole of the northeast part of northeast China, since 1928, the whole of the northern part of northeast China had reportedly been entirely free of plague. If plague had been present among rodents since then, it would have been impossible for the disease not to have appeared among humans. Thirdly, the nearest places to have suffered plagues in recent years, were more than 300 kilometers from Kanmon County. Finally, the seasonal incidence of plague epidemics in the west part of northeast China was as follows. Among rodents, from the end of April or the beginning of May to September or October. Among man, from the end of May or from early June to the end of October. The plague-ridden voles of Kanmon were discovered on April 5th. It was also noted that rigorous zoological examination strongly suggested that the vole species was anomalous to that region. And I'm reading this again because this is quite technical. I'm going to read the last, but about the voles is very important. Firstly, voles are not infected naturally with plague. The important carriers in northeast China were the sewer rat, the ground squirrel, and the mouse. Secondly, Kanmon County had never known plague in its history. Since 1928, the whole of the northern part of northeast China had reportedly been entirely free of plague. If plague had been present among rodents since then, it would have been impossible for the disease not to have appeared among humans. Thirdly, the nearest places to have suffered plague in recent years were more than 300 kilometers from Kanmon County. Finally, the seasonal incidence of plague epidemics in the west part of northeast China was as follows. Among rodents, from the end of April or the beginning of May to September or October. Among man, from the end of May or from early June to the end of October. The plague-ridden voles of Kanmon were discovered on April 5th. It was also noted that rigorous zoological examination strongly suggested that the vole species was anomalous to that region. On August 13th, at the laboratories of the National Medical College in Mukden, where Ishii's, that's General Shiro Ishii, the commander of Unit 731, where Ishii's scientists had once held sway, Zhukov Verezhnikov personally carried out a post-mortem examination of a guinea pig used as a passive animal for cultures of the Kanmon strain. Cultures of plague bacilli were clearly confirmed. The ISC decided to visit Kanmon in an attempt to verify the allegations. Depositions were taken from villagers, including the intelligent young man, unquote, who had kept the one live vole. No fleas had been observed to accompany the voles. The commission was puzzled how the voles could have been dropped from the air, but Unit 731 had devised such methods, and these were drawn to the attention of the ISC by Dr. Pai Shi Ching, Vice Minister of Health. One more time. But Unit 731 had devised such methods, and these were drawn to the attention of the ISC by Dr. Pai Shi Ching, Vice Minister of Health of the Northeast China People's Government. He pointed to an article entitled Bacteriological Warfare, unquote, which had appeared on January 27th that year in the Japanese weekly magazine Sunday Mainichi, in which an author writing under the fictitious name Rohi Sakaki and claiming to be a former major in Unit 731 had described in detail a method for landing rats in a paper cylinder attached to a parachute. The cylinder, which split open on impact, allowing the rats to escape, was then destroyed by fire by means of a time fuse. Although no such delivery system was found at Kannan, the ISC surmised, quote, the facts seem to be compatible with the use of self-destroying paper canisters and parachutes similar to those described in the Mainichi article. And again, the possibility that Unit 731 methodology and personnel may have been involved in these alleged BW incidents, I suspect was one of the things that made the entire issue such a touchy one. And again, my dominant interest in this, although against the background of COVID-19 and the very firm evidence presented in many hours of shows that we developed that bloody virus, the fact that it was these allegations which led to the mind control programs, I think, is just one is tempted to use the phrase mind blowing, but in the context of mind control, perhaps that is inappropriate. Continuing with the author's analysis, further links with Unit 731 were contained in another Japanese press report brought to the ISC. The commission wrote, quote, from the statements gathered at the trial at Khabarovsk, Ishii was known to have taken along with him to Japan various live species of voles collected from northeast China. We cannot help associating these facts from a recent news release. The Tokyo paper Koa Shinbun, dated August 7, 1952, published the news that in the Saitama County, Japan, there is an institute under the direction of Ozawa, a former assistant under Ishii, which can breed on a large scale great numbers of rodents. Unquote. The commission also observed that the distribution map of voles, 3 foci along a line southeast by northwest, suggested aerial delivery. The fact that there were no perceptible differences in the size of the animals was noted as suspicious. All the voles were adults, a somewhat anomalous situation for a normal population. Most villagers noted that the voles had appeared ill, their fur ruffled as is customary in sick animals, and it had evidently been easy for the cats to catch them. The commission concluded that, quote, there remains no doubt that a large number of voles suffering from plague were delivered to the district of Kannan during the night of April 4th and 5th, 1952, by the aircraft which the villagers heard. This was identified as an American F-82 double fuselage night fighter. The ISC suggested that the radio operation space would, quote, doubtless, unquote, have been made available for bacterial warfare gear. Again, note the following, that there were, those were all adults. The fact that there were no perceptible differences in the size of the animals was noted as suspicious. All the voles were adults, a somewhat anomalous situation for a normal population. Most villagers noted that the voles had appeared ill, their fur ruffled as is customary in sick animals, and that it had evidently been easy for the cats to catch them. The commission concluded that, quote, "There remains no doubt that a large number of voles suffering from plague were delivered to the district of Khon Nan during the night of April 4th and 5th, 1952, by the aircraft which the villagers heard. This was identified as an American F-82 double fuselage night fighter," unquote. The ISC suggested that the radio operator's space would doubtless, unquote, have been made available for bacterial warfare gear. The next incident which the ISC followed up was similar to that described by Burchette, the Siswau correspondent. On March 12th, residents of Quan Chin Town, near the Yalu River in southeast Lao Tung Province, saw eight U.S. F-86 planes pass over at around 12:30 p.m., recognizing them easily from their mere daily intrusions. From one was seen to drop a bright cylindrical object. Searches organized immediately afterwards found many masses of anthomiid flies, hylemia, and spiders, tarantula. 9 days later, in a snow-covered maize field, fragments of an object were found in a small crater. The largest fragment was a cap-shaped steel plate. The most numerous pieces, around 200, were made of a thin, porous, calcareous substance. There was also a metal rod. Various suggestions were later offered as to how the bomb, unquote, worked. The object could have been modeled on the principle of a bird's egg shell, constituting a considerable refinement on the earthenware containers invented by Ishii. The Chinese had collected and inspected specimens of these from the ruins of Unit 731's special factory in Harbin. Chinese experts took fragments of the Quan Chin container and dried them at high temperature, whereupon they had given off the odor of burnt protein. This, they suggested, indicated the presence of gelatin as binding material in the calcareous case. Members of the ISC added that the fragility of the container might only be a last-minute property, and that it might have been formed upon a collodion mold, the collodion being subsequently removed by a solvent before use. So also, grooves found on the interior might have been filled with magnesium foil, which, though giving temporary support, would burn away without trace at the time of impact. Analysis and reconstruction work by the Institutes of Modern and of Applied Physics at the Chinese National Academy revealed the intact container had been cylindrical and domed at least at one end. The total length had been more than 1 foot 3.5 inches, the length of the rod 11 inches, the thickness of the calcareous walls just over 1/6 inch, and the hole had been painted on the outside with aluminum paint. X-ray examination showed the walls were chiefly of calcium carbonate, and spectroscopy indicated some magnesium. The commission, however, continued to remain puzzled how so fragile a container could have withstood the air shock of departure from a plane. Entomologists sent to the scene at Quan Chin collected insects nearby and found them anomalous in seasonal appearance as well as regionally unusual for their particular zoological species. They also found considerable quantities of fowl feathers. Bacteriological examination of the feathers, insects, and spiders revealed the presence of anthrax germs. One more time. Entomologists sent to the scene at Quantien collected insects nearby and found them anomalous in seasonal appearance as well as regionally unusual for their particular zoological species. They also found considerable quantities of fowl feathers. Bacteriological examination of the feathers, insects, and spiders revealed the presence of anthrax germs. The latest incidents to which the ISC gave exhaustive study before leaving China for North Korea were a group of cases in Liaotung and Laoshi. Large numbers of beetles of the species Pinus fir, that's P-T-I-M-U-S fir, the housefly Musca vicina, and masses of downy feathers of fowl have apparently appeared following American air incursions across the Yalu and were found to be contaminated with anthrax. Despite the diversity of the vectors, the strains of the bacilli isolated were the same, each having the same behavior in fermentation tests. The ISC found this factor, quote, an unusual and suspicious circumstance, unquote. Again, seasonal and ecological abnormalities were observed. The commission interviewed 24 witnesses and also considered the related circumstances of 5 human fatalities from respiratory anthrax and hemorrhagic anthrax meningitis. The fatalities, a railway man, a tricycle rickshaw driver, a housewife, a schoolteacher, and a farmer, had each fallen sick from a disease which had run a similar and rapid course. Each case had presented the same picture to pathologists during autopsy and subsequent histological analysis. The beetles appeared to have been responsible for 2 of the deaths, and the flies and feathers for another 2. Witnesses explained that 4 out of the 5 victims had taken part in the insect and feather hunts and were known to have dispensed with the recognized precautions. That is, they had failed to protect their respiratory passages with a mask or had handled the biological objects without gloves or forceps. The ISC was presented with statistical evidence showing that not only was the classical cutaneous or pustular anthrax exceedingly rare in northeast China, but also that respiratory anthrax leading to hemorrhagic meningitis was completely unknown. It was also told that the 5 fatal cases were only a sample of a greater population of related deaths from anthrax after the alleged incursion. The Chinese authorities presented members of the commission various scientific papers published by Camp Beatrix scientists in open journals in 1946 and 1947, which, although by no means proving that biological warfare was being waged, indicated not only a keen interest in anthrax infection by the respiratory route, but also that it had been possible to obtain new strains of anthrax bacilli cultured on synthetic media, which possessed high virulence and special adaptation to respiratory infection. And we will continue with this analysis in our next program, noting, by the way, that a Canadian Christian preacher and missionary who had actually worked with Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist regime also endorsed these results. However, that will be in our next program. This concludes For the Record program number 1172, The Missing Chapter, Part 2, being recorded on February 13th of the year 2021. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.